Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! One minute past the hour, and welcome to this Tuesday evening edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. As the world waits with bated breath, not, for the results to come in from the D.C., the Maryland, and the Virginia primaries, which we will dutifully try to talk about only tangentially, if at all. Because there's other stuff that matters, and other stuff that's funnier, and other stuff that's sadder, and other stuff that is vastly more meaningful than primary season kabuki theater. Like, for instance, the crap weasels of the Democratic Party who inhabit the United States Senate. One of those crap weasels is a man by the name of John D. Rockefeller IV. We call him Jay here in West Virginia. Big fan of mountaintop removal. Big fan of ethnic cleansing in southern West Virginia via mountaintop removal. And big fan, apparently, because he's a big beneficiary of telecoms. Yay, Jay! Yeah, you know what happened today. You know that the attempt to stop telecom immunity failed in the Senate today. You know that people like Jay Rockefeller and Bill Nelson and Ben Nelson, Blanche Lincoln, Mary Landrieu, and various and sundry other weaselistic Democrats in the Senate caved in, took their marching orders from the telecoms, of course, who gave them horse-gagging wads of money to do so. Harry Reid was one of them, took horse-gagging wads of money from Verizon. So did Jay Rockefeller. And you know what? If you got enough money, you can buy you a politician. You know, the other night I said that I thought that West Virginia's delegation in the Congress, every time they stood up to speak, ought to be forced to say, "Brought to you by Big Coal," just like the cabinet member in Idiocracy periodically said, "Brought to you by Carl's Jr." Not Jay. I mean, Jay is brought to us by Big Coal, but I think Jay needs to stand up and say, "Brought to you by Verizon. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now, Jay? You..." Nice, Bob. Be nice. Can you hear me, Jay? I called your office earlier today. And I'll say it now. I don't have to vote for your opponent. But that does not mean that I have to, by definition, vote for you. Now, I realize that I'm seeming rather two-minded and wishy-washy on this. I think I've just been herded back into the primary process. And I said this would be only tangential if we talked about primaries at all, and I consider this tangential. I'm back in the primary process because I've got work to do. I had thought that I would stay out of the presidential primary process mainly so that I could watch the two-year-olds who support Obama and Clinton fight it out, and then do my duty as a mature, upstanding member of the Democratic Party and vote for the Democratic nominee in November. I think I may have just been, as I said, pushed back into the primary process. I need to go so I can not vote for Jay Rockefeller to be renominated. And I also need to go so that I can, yes, I know, excuse me, so that I can cast a primary ballot for Barack Obama. There's a lot wrong with Barack Obama. There is a lot wrong with Hillary Clinton. There is a lot wrong with any politician who is able to raise the money to run for high public office in this country. The ability to raise that money indicates, I think, probably some level of character flaw. Some level of ability to sort of put the shine on for anybody who's within paying distance so that you can get their money. It's probably the same character flaw that inhabits the soul of a televangelist. I acknowledge all that. But today, when it was time to vote either for corporate telecoms or for the Constitution of the United States, and particularly the free exercise of the Fourth Amendment by the people of the United States, the McCain-Churian candidate voted with the telecoms, just as many Democrats did, including Jay Rockefeller. Barack Obama, for reasons that I don't know, but you know, at this point, I'm just pleased that he did, voted against telecom immunity. Hillary Clinton didn't even show up. Oh, I know. She's busy. She's running a campaign. She's got things to be and places to do. But she couldn't show up. I mean, the only primaries that were really on the radar today were Virginia, Maryland, and D.C. Pretty close to D.C., D.C., and Maryland, and Virginia. But she couldn't be bothered to show up and vote for the Constitution of the United States. That's a deal breaker for me. Habeas corpus is a deal breaker for me. Wiretapping, spying, deal breakers. And so, for whatever reason motivated him, Barack Obama voted, in my estimation, the right way on the bill. Or the amendment, I suppose I should say. And I can reward him with my vote for doing the right thing. And now, I don't know what kind of excuse will be put forward. My dog ate the bill. Bill ate the bill. Couldn't find the Senate today. Temporary amnesia. I was busy in the farthest southwest corner of Virginia, stumping for votes. I was out across the Chesapeake Bay in Maryland stumping for votes. This was important. And yeah, had she voted against it, it would have only been 32. But still, there are times we fight the fight not because we expect to win, but because if we do not fight the fight, we lose our self-respect. That being the case, I deem that, and you know what, this is my right as a voter. Your right too. Your right to disagree with me if you choose. But this is my right as a voter. To make judgments based upon issues. Now, I may in fact think that Senator Clinton has a far better taste in shoes than Senator Obama. I may think that she's better on health care than Senator Obama. I may think that she's better on children's issues than Senator Obama. But showing up is half the battle. I had actually begun thinking I might back away, and if I didn't, you know, either stay out of the primary or possibly even vote for Senator Clinton. I entertained both sides because, again, my candidates are out of the running. But daggum, be right or be wrong, but for God's sakes, show up. I would that ye were hot or cold, but ye are neither, ye are lukewarm, and I spit ye out of my mouth. Isn't that how the thing in Revelations goes? No, I'm not using the Bible to determine my voting preferences, but I do understand the meaning behind that particular verse. Stand for something. Don't just stand there, do something. Don't tell us how good you're gonna be, go be good. For me, the telecom issue is not largely a Hillary versus Barack issue. I am using it as a benchmark. I may yet stay out of the primaries. I don't know. I'm using it as a benchmark, but the greater benchmark, the larger benchmark, is the glaring need that this points up to get Harry Reid the hell out of the Senate Majority Leader's chair. He is pusillanimous, he is ineffective, he is pathetic, gutless, bought and paid for, and he's got to go. And I don't know how we get that message across. Get a few thousand people standing outside the Capitol with signs and pitchforks and torches screaming, "Quit, Harry, quit." I don't know. But you know what? This was an easy issue. And I'll tell you a secret. Right now, anything that George Bush advocates is an easy issue because the man could not do the right thing if the two choices he had were both right. He would do nothing and screw up. Telecoms spying on behalf of the federal government on American citizens is an easy issue. And the only way that that issue even possibly becomes difficult is if you've just gotten a big old honking check from Verizon or AT&T. Communication sponsor of the Democratic National Convention, might I add. AT&T. That's the only way it's a tough call. Is if you've been bought. If you've puckered up and given the big old kiss. Kiss the telecom ring, Jay. Kiss the telecom ring, Harry. Why don't you let us at least see you do it? Doing it in the shadows doesn't make it any less real. I don't mean to sound jealous or anything, but sometimes I really do wish that I was on terrestrial radio. Mostly I don't. This is one of those moments because I'd like to be on terrestrial radio, and I would like to have people across West Virginia hear me say, you do not have to vote for Jay Rockefeller's opposition, but you do not have to vote for Jay Rockefeller. I'm done. Can you imagine, this is not wallowing or anything, but I was raised up being taught that exercising one's right to vote was about the most sacred obligation that one had as a citizen of one's county, city, county, state, and nation. When my father was barely able to walk for very far, the one place he made sure he went to was the polls to cast his vote. And now I look at the slate presented to me by the primary in my state. Let's see. Not gonna vote for the Senate. I'm not gonna vote for my congressman. Not gonna vote against him because the people against him are just, crazy. Because we breed the sort of right-wing Republican in this state that thinks that Mike Huckabee is a good idea. you know, woohoo!
Oh, Margaret.
Kind of makes you wonder where the pig licking right wing knuckle walking mouth breathing dead from the neck up pig licking party in West Virginia is these days.
What are you people on dope?
So I'm not going to vote for any of their candidates. I'll just not vote for any of the ones that the Democrats have handed me. Any of the crap weasels. I will not vote for a man who hustles liquid coal. I won't vote for a man who thinks that the telecom corporations are more important than the constitutional rights for which my family over the course of generations has fought and died. I won't vote for a governor, an incumbent governor, who's broken our workers' compensation system, who has done nothing to alleviate the depredations of the coal companies and mountaintop removal. No, so that's governor, senator, congressman. Don't have anybody to vote for in the House of Delegates or state Senate races that mean anything to me. At this point in time, the only reason for me to go and vote in the primary is to cast a vote for Barack Obama for actually showing up and doing the right thing, not by me, not by those generations I mentioned, but by the Constitution of the United States. Otherwise, it's stay home till November. Right? But like I said, the primaries are tangential. They're tangential to the gutless wonders in the United States Senate who get elected as Democrats and then don't have the spine to be Democrats. The lamest lame duck in the history of the White House is flapping away at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and the Senate won't even stand up to him. I'm guessing there's just not a lot of members of the Senate who ever read that lecture, that statement, that little monologue by Atticus Finch in To Kill a Mockingbird about sometimes we do what we have to do and we fight the fights we fight simply not because they have to be fought, because otherwise we couldn't live with ourselves. I don't know. I don't know how Ben Nelson from Nebraska lives with himself, or that Landrieu woman, or that Lincoln woman, or that Pryor man. I don't know. I don't know how Jay Rockefeller lives with himself, except to say that, you know, when you got a lot of bread, you can still eat a lot of crap between the slices. And God knows he's got the bread, so to speak. Oh, dear, I'm off on one of my negative little tears this evening, aren't I? I apologize. But that's the America we live in. Closed the program last night with Langston Hughes's Let America Be America Again, and of course the subtext being that America has never existed. And it's when you see things like a servile Senate led by a servile, bought off, paid for, bribed up senator from Nevada taking a big old pee on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you realize that if it's left up to them, America never will be America again. And I'm getting to a very frustrated point in my life vis-a-vis American politics. I used to say I understand that I'm not going to agree with these people all the time. But if they do the job most of the time, we can be friends. I'm getting very close to abandoning that notion. If you cannot do the job that you are paid very well to do, then, well, What have we in common? Getting it right most of the time doesn't count when the times that you get it wrong are on monstrously huge issues of terrific importance to the future of the constitutional rights that we hold dear, those of us who still hold our constitutional rights dear and aren't sucked up inside the television. Huh? What'd you say, Madge? We lost our Fourth Amendment rights today? Ah, wasn't using them. Hey, where's the clicker? So, you know what? I'm not going to tell you what to do, but if you feel like I do, maybe you want to, maybe you'll do what I did and tell your senator's office who voted in favor of the telecoms and against the people of the United States that you're done with them. I told the guy, I said, look, I'm a registered Democrat. I've never voted for a Republican in my life, ever. But I'm done with Senator Rockefeller. I will never cast my vote for him again so long as I live, and I'll see to it at the very least that my family doesn't either. Because I do not wish to associate myself or my vote with a man who does not have the nerve or the stomach for a fight to stand up for the very thing that makes us who we are and for which so much blood, so many lives, so many countless hours of thankless toil, so much has been lost and so much has been shed and so much has been given. If you can't vote in favor of the Constitution and against the telecoms, you have no business thinking that somebody who does love this country and does love this Constitution will vote for you. This is all very personal, and I apologize. So if it's not where you want me to be right now, but the fact of the matter is, it is where I am. Headline, Dems fall well short of stripping immunity from spy bill. Spy bill. A bill to permit spying on American citizens. I don't know if it's cognitive dissonance, or maybe I'm catching the flu that Ferg and Doodle have. But I don't understand the necessity to spy on sovereign citizens of the United States. Benjamin Franklin said that when a man left public office, he should consider and went back to just being an ordinary citizen, that he should consider it a promotion because he had gone from being a servant to being the boss. It's just not that way anymore, is it? Now, on the upside, let's note that the House bill, the spy bill, does not contain telecom immunity. That means it will have to be reconciled in conference committee. If we had a Speaker of the House, you might think that maybe the House of Representatives, the so-called People's House, the lower house, you might think that they would stand up for the Constitution and for your rights and my rights. You would, I suspect, be wrong. Because I fully expect in that conference committee, with that telecom immunity, with the threat of a veto from a lame duck hanging over their heads, I expect Nancy Pelosi to collapse like a souffle at a tap dance. That hope does, however, spring eternal. One does not know who the House conferees will be, or at least I don't. Maybe you do. Is it worth our effort to try to find out who those people are and start leaning on them and telling them under no uncertain terms that it's time for once that they honor their oath to defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Because at this point, the United States Senate sort of appears to be a domestic enemy of the Constitution. Because if you're assaulting the rights contained therein, you're certainly not a friend of it. Now, are you? Maybe it's just me. 26 minutes past the hour, and to the phones we go. Who have I got?
Susan.
Hey, Susan.
I'm glad my father's not alive. He dove into burning oil off an aircraft carrier.
Yeah.
Because his aircraft carrier had been torpedoed by the Japanese. He was fighting for his country.
Yeah, I know.
It would be... He would figure it wasn't really worth it. Now, I do have one answer and a question.
Just out of curiosity, which carrier?
The Wasp.
Okay.
CV-7.
Yeah.
You asked how these people sleep at night. It's simple. They're all whores at heart.
Nah, see, I think that's being too rough on the whores. Prostitutes have consciences. These people don't.
I'm talking about moral whores. I'm not talking about the kind who actually have to sell themselves to survive.
I know that's what I'm saying. You know, no, they're what I'm getting. They are lower than that.
The people who have to sell themselves sexually to survive are just trying to survive. Moral whores are the kind who will do anything just to get more. They want more.
And I think if we had horn psychotherapist Rick Goodner handy, he would tell us that maybe the word we're looking for there is sociopath.
Yeah, probably. I do have a question.
Rhetorical or...
No, actually, a real-life question. Of the people in the audience in Nevada. Is anyone showing up to be a primary challenger to Reed that we can send money to?
Isn't the Nevada caucus over? I mean, was it just presidential? I don't know. That's a straight. But no, I don't think. No, he doesn't. No, he's got to be replaced inside the Senate.
Best way to replace him is make sure he doesn't get elected.
No, that ain't gonna happen. Look. Do you think if he was defeated in the primary, he wouldn't go all Lieberman and create the Nevada for Reed party?
Oh, yeah, you get a point.
I remember a long time ago when the Soviet Union still existed, Susan, and there was a study done, a statistical study, that showed that it was easier to unseat a member of the Soviet Politburo than it was to unseat a sitting senator.
You do have a point.
That hasn't changed.
This country is looking more and more and more like the Soviet Union every day.
By the way, Jim Webb voted for this, too.
I'm ashamed of that man. He should know better.
What do you want of a former Republican? He was a Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan. I saw a thing over on Democratic Underground today saying, did I just shake hands with the next vice president of the United States? I shook hands with Jim Webb.
God, I hope not. Not if he's voting against the Fourth Amendment.
Well, he did. And let's
by the way, on the by the way issues,
not a single Republican got out of line.
Oh, of course not. They're robots.
And Senator Christopher Bond, who is the ranking repig on the Senate Intelligence Committee, said passage of the amendment would have allowed lawsuits to go forward and disclose our most vital means of collecting information and tracking terrorists.
Oh, horse pucky.
Be afraid, America. Be very afraid. If we can't spy on you and get Aunt Edna's fudge recipe, the terrorists win.
And it's our own people that I'm talking about.
And I guess it's because we tend to judge them by our own standards, isn't it, Susan?
Yeah. I expect...
Would you... If you... Now, wait a minute. Okay. And I do the same thing with myself, so I'm not asking you to do anything that I haven't already done myself. Imagine you're a member of the United States Senate, and you find out that somebody's just... that a telecom has just given you $50,000 for your reelection effort. Would you have the guts to vote for the Constitution of the United States?
I damn well better, or I don't belong in that Senate.
It's kind of the way I feel.
If you don't have the character to vote against it, you don't belong there. And if you can't, you'd be bothered to show up.
Now, yeah, and I realize this could be a moment where I'm being very, very unfair to Senator Clinton. Maybe she had the same flu that has laid some of us low lately. Kind of hard to crawl out of bed when you're burning up with fever and you got the shakes and the aches and the chills and feels like when you move every bone in your body's burning.
Anything short of bubonic plague, you should show up. It's for the Constitution. She took an oath.
You know, if the primary today was California or Minnesota or Washington or Florida, and you needed to be down there campaigning, I could deal. But no,
she'd be down there.
No, what I'm getting at is the primaries today were Virginia, Maryland, and D.C.
It's not like she couldn't whip on over briefly, cast her vote, whip on back.
I always find myself trying to make excuses for these people. And I'm thinking, well, maybe there's another amendment up. Maybe Chris Dodd's out there and he's outflanked them and he's got them right where he wants them right now.
Well, Chris can only do so much. Chris can try all, you know.
He did not fill... He hasn't filibustered.
He hasn't?
He promised really? He would. He hasn't.
Why hasn't he?
Beats the hell out of me, Susan. I mean, I'm not being an ass. I don't know.
I don't know either. I would have thought he'd filibuster it.
He voted against it.
Well, what would he do?
But it made it obviously made it to a vote now, didn't it?
Yeah, but at least...
Well, wait. Maybe I've got this backwards. Doggone it, Mark Levine's already gone from the chat room. This was an amendment that would have stripped immunity. So yeah. I guess he couldn't filibuster something that he wanted to see happen.
You lost me.
This wasn't an amendment to give immunity. This was an amendment to strip immunity from the bill, the FISA bill.
Oh, okay.
So maybe he filibusters later. I'm sorry. Sometimes I have to process on the fly.
Yeah. Well, I know. I can understand that.
But still, it was whatever to 31. 69 to 31, 60, 68 to 31, 66 to 31.
And this bill should have never reached the floor of Senate. I agree with you there. Damn you, Reed.
Because, you see, he's the one that's orchestrating all of this.
Yeah.
None of this happens. Nothing happens without his tacit approval. He is the majority leader.
Hey,
he sets the agenda.
How far do you have to bend over?
No. No, just a polite little ring kissing. He didn't even get any skid marks on his magic underwear.
Yeah, but where was the ring?
So, you know, that's what we're facing. We have a Senate full of cowards. Not full, but full enough to do damage.
Cowards and people who don't care, who are so self-absorbed in their own plan.
And I can tell you, if some of these, and I don't have the analysis here. This is a shortcoming of mine. I don't know how many of the senators who voted in favor of giving the telecoms what they want are up for re-election. I know Jay Rockefeller is one of them.
Was Senator Smith from Oregon one of them?
Don't have the list.
Rats. I got to find that list.
Well, if you do find it, email it to me, and we'll have a Mouseketeer roll call on it.
Yeah, he is going to. Well, I'll post it because anybody who voted for it's going to catch it.
Yeah, I'm looking at the chat room, and our good friend Lottie says what we need is a good investigative journalist to find a monetary connection between the politicians and their votes.
Because that's a felony.
Yeah, 69, 29, and 2 was the vote total. But the fact of the matter is, the work's already been done. We know how many thousands of dollars were given to Jay Rockefeller, who is the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and to Harry Reid, and they were given by the telecoms. And it's in five digits for each of them.
Yeah, and here's another little goodie. If you're checking the web, you won't find this on Yahoo's website. You won't find this on the main page of CNN's website. You've got to dig for it. You know, they buried it.
Well,
the media's burying it.
So it was 69 yeas to 29 nays for cloture. And 2 not voting. So that's not the 31 votes that we got. That was the cloture vote. That was the filibuster vote. So the Republicans stopped the filibuster by 69 to 29 to 2 didn't show up.
Instead of the FISA bill, what you have on the Yahoo main page for a headline is, "Scientists prove Napoleon was not poisoned by the British."
Oh, I'll sleep much better tonight. on the cloture vote, not voting, Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, Hillary Clinton, Democrat, New York. Voting in favor of cloture, yes, Smith of Oregon. Voting in favor of cloture, Rockefeller of West Virginia. Bye of Indiana. Baucus of Montana. Carper of Delaware. Casey of Pennsylvania. Conrad of North Dakota. McCaskill of Missouri. Lincoln of Arkansas. Lieberman of Connecticut. Yeah, surprise. Mary Landrieu, Louisiana. Tim Johnson, South Dakota. Daniel Inouye, Hawaii. Dianne Feinstein, California. Mikulski of Maryland. Nelson of Florida. Nelson of Nebraska. Pryor of Arkansas. Salazar of Colorado. and Webb of Virginia and Whitehouse of Rhode Island, the guy that was sent to the Senate by Rhode Islanders to replace the Lincoln Chafee. Wyden, of course, voted against cloture.
Yay.
Yeah. Akaka, Biden, Bill, Bingaman, Boxer, Brown, Byrd, Cantwell, Cardin. Look at that. Bob Byrd found the right side of the issue. Dodd, Dorgan, Durbin, Feingold, Harkin, Kennedy, Kerry, Klobuchar, Lautenberg, Leahy, Levin, Menendez, Murray, Obama, Reed, Sanders, good for Bernie, Schumer, Stabenow, Teaster, and Wyden. Not voting, again, Graham and Clinton.
Well, that just put me firmly in the Obama camp. Because I was raised with the, you know, under the adage, do something, even if it's wrong, do something.
Don't just stand there. Exactly. Susan, I got a roll.
Yeah. So, love to Agnes.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Onward. Hi, have I got?
Tis I.
Hey, Koss, what's up?
I seem to remember from law school many, many long years ago that...
The rule against perpetuities? No, sorry, being a smartass.
That there was a certain line in Article 1, Section 9 that says specifically, quote, "No bill of attainder or ex post facto law shall be passed."
Isn't this an ex post facto law?
Exactly! Don't these people even read the goddamn Constitution, for God's sakes?
No, and sadly enough, neither do the judges much anymore now that they're mostly right-wing flacks and hacks.
That is the supreme law of the land. That is the operating system for the country. That was beaten into my head so thoroughly, I cannot forget it. How do these people manage it?
What do you suppose, Koss, is the explanation or the excuse for why it is that this isn't an ex post facto law? Because, you know, there's got to be some sort of... What kind of rationale, if the ACLU or the Electronic Freedom Foundation were to sue, what kind of bass-ackward rationale would you get out of a federal judge saying, is it one of those where, I just don't have jurisdiction to hear it, I'll be darned?
I don't know. I'm sitting here looking at the Cornell University Law School page under ex post facto. It says Latin for "from a thing done afterward." And it says, in the first sentence, ex post facto is most typically used to refer to a law that applies retroactively. I mean,
I'm stumped. Because it means the same thing to me, Koss, that it meant to you.
I mean, you know, how much...
This is a law passed to cover past conduct.
Right.
Now, I can understand... Look, I would disagree with it, but if they want to pass a law that says in the future you can't, Congress has that right.
Yeah, but how do you legalize things that were criminal at the time? You pass an ex post facto law that, on its face, prima facie, is unconstitutional. Prima facie. For God's sakes, how much more clear can it possibly be?
I know. This is 1L constitutional law. This isn't even a bar exam question. This is, if you can't answer this question at the end of the first semester, your ass is out of law school.
Exactly. I mean, I'm incredulous. And, well... I am and I'm not. On the one hand, I'm incredulous simply because it's such an idiotic, moronic exercise of bad taste. But I'm not surprised that there's so little foo-foo about it, because other than Glenn Greenwald, other than Fire Dog Lake, other than Digby, other than you, who else talks about this? It's not in the mainstream media. The Post always mischaracterizes it as, well, we have to have this law or else they're going to kill us all in our beds. Come on. For crying out loud, people. I mean, have we all slipped our cogs that much?
Is it just too? Is the Constitution just not interesting enough? Is that what we're dealing with? Do we need to sex it up a little bit? I mean, do we need to put the Constitution on one side of Maxim magazine with a half-naked Paris Hilton on the other? I'm being a little bit facetious, but I'm beginning to wonder. I think it's fascinating. Obviously, you do too. Because it's just full of fun stuff, like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's also stuff in there that would suggest that you can't have a court of star chamber, too, isn't there?
Exactly.
But we've got one of those.
Oh, yeah. And this entire thing about, well, you heard that lunatic over in England today.
Yeah.
Scalia.
Yeah, I know.
God. Oh, it just means that we can't torture people as a punishment. It doesn't say a damn thing about we can't torture them before we find them guilty.
Justice Antonin Scalia told the BBC that, quote, smacking someone in the face could be justified if there was an imminent threat. You can't come in smugly and with great self-satisfaction and say, oh, it's torture and therefore it's no good. And then told Europe, which has bled and ached and died for how many centuries, Koss?
Too many.
He has apparently finally at least begun to learn the lesson therefrom, says that they're self-righteous over the death penalty.
You know,
it makes me wonder, and I don't know, they may come and round me up for this, Koss. It makes me wonder if we could take Tony Scalia and slap him around a little bit and waterboard him a little bit and all the time ask him how many little boys he's had sex with.
That'd be fun.
And then when he finally confessed that he had, even if he hadn't, use that as evidence to convict him as a sex offender.
Good idea. Hey, I got it. While we're waterboarding him, we can attach electrodes to his nads.
Sure.
And we can give him those periodic jolts for forcing the water down his nose.
Now, okay. But let's go back to 1L for a minute, Koss. This is a quote from Scalia. To begin with, the Constitution is referring to punishment for crime. And, for example, incarcerating someone indefinitely would certainly be cruel and unusual punishment for a crime. I suppose it's the same thing about so-called torture. Is it really so easy to determine that smacking someone in the face to determine where he's hidden the bomb that is about to blow up Los Angeles is prohibited in the Constitution? It would be absurd to say you couldn't do that. And once you acknowledge that, we're into a different game. How close does the threat have to be? And how severe can the infliction of pain be?
And how good is the information that you're going to get? If he's really a terrorist, and if he really knows where the bomb is, he's not going to tell you. And if he's not a terrorist, and you're inflicting horrendous pain on him, he'll tell you anything you want to know.
That's really the shortcoming of torture, isn't it?
God. Lord Almighty.
You know, we have in our own history, Koss, we have the evidence, and I can't remember the man's name, pressed to death.
Yeah. More weight.
And that's all he said, more weight, because he wouldn't confess to being a witch.
Correct.
What was his name? I can't remember.
I can't either at the moment. I know exactly who you're speaking of.
During the Salem witch hunts.
Right. He was
More weight.
Male witch.
Yeah. Old guy.
Yeah. And,
they piled stones on him.
Yeah. And, you know, people, I don't know if people realize this or not, but, you realize that the female witches were turned off, correct?
Say again?
That the female witches that were executed
mm-hmm.
turned off. You know.
No, I don't understand.
Okay, they would attach the rope to a tree limb, walk them.
Oh, until their heads came loose.
No, they just walked them a few steps off the ladder and then turned them off the ladder. They weren't even hung properly.
Oh, okay, I see.
They just turned them off the ladder. And most of them didn't break.
Giles them. Corey.
That's it, Giles Corey.
September 19th, 1692. We know how this movie ends. It's not, you know, this... And yet, is it a case of people thinking that they're so doggone smart that they've just overthought it? The same thing that I was talking about on the horn section last night, about the difference between too much language and using short, easy-to-comprehend words? Is Scalia so convinced of his own genius that seeing there shall be no cruel and unusual punishment...
Well, they have convinced themselves of their own brilliance. You know, Scalia is one of those that, you know, if you can't dazzle them with your brilliance, baffle them with your bullshit. He's of that school. And I think what we really need to do is, you know, get about 500,000, 750,000 people in the streets of D.C., with the ones closest to the Capitol and the Supreme Court carrying the torn feather pillows and buckets of boiling tar. Maybe even roll the National Razor out there. I mean, you know, that's basically how the Roman Forum was pressured into doing anything at all for the populace. Was they were having riots outside the forum, and senators knew if they walked out there without something to give the plebs, they weren't going to make it.
Let's have our little Book of Genesis moment then. Are there 750,000 people in the United States that actually give a damn about the Constitution?
Well, we got two.
It's a beginning.
I bet you we could drag most of the chat room down there. Drag hell, they'd be dragging us.
We kid and we joke about tar and feathering and stuff like that. But I'd like to see. You've got people like Bruce Fine who show up on things like the Countdown with Olbermann. And this guy is a former Reagan Justice Department lawyer, and he's one of those really, really round, spectacled, geeky lawyers that you know could kill you with a pen and paper.
Uh-huh.
And he says that this crap is torture, and he says that torture is clearly illegal, and he says that spying on the American people is illegal. Jonathan Turley says the same thing.
Certainly. This is not rocket science. It really isn't.
I mean, I remember when we used to have there were cases, and maybe you read about it once upon a time too. You remember the Christian burial case out in, what was it, Missouri, Iowa, somewhere like that?
Oh God!
Where the crazy guy had disappeared a little girl, and he was religiously insane as usual.
Yeah.
And the cops just drove him around and didn't say a word to him. They just talked amongst themselves, the two cops. You know, it's a pity she's not going to have a Christian burial. Her soul can't go to heaven without a Christian burial. And the crazy dude and the religiously insane dude in the back seat just begins to vibrate, and he goes, I'll show you!
God.
And then, well, it all goes up on appeal because what they later did is put a, they just took the maximum area in which the girl could have been buried and set it off into grids, and everybody went and searched the grids. Meanwhile, he ponies up the information for where the girl's buried. And they go to court, and the court rules that, well, you know, even though it was unconstitutional to do to him what you did, it's okay, because they'd already done the grid pattern thing, and they would have eventually discovered her. I guess what I'm getting at, Koss, is that we didn't just happen here overnight.
No, no.
Go back and read the dissent in U.S. v. Leon, which creates a good faith exception to the entire Constitution, as far as I'm concerned.
Right. Yeah. Well, as long as they thought they were doing the right thing.
Yeah. Cop goes through the door, blows away somebody. It's the wrong person. They're not even charged. Not only are they not guilty, they're not charged. It's the wrong person. It's not the person on the warrant. It's not the place specified on the warrant. And the Supreme Court said that's okay as long as they were acting in good faith.
Right. Well, it's basically what that jackass Mukasey was saying. Oh, I'm not going to persecute anybody who undertook their illegal actions on the basis of a finding of the Justice Department or a memorandum or what? That's not how laws are made, son. You were a lawyer. You were a judge. You are now Attorney General. How in God's name can you say something like that?
Well, I guess that we're just caught up in the minutia. We want to give everybody a free ride out of prison on some sort of a technicality. That's what it is.
We sure as hell gave Scooter a free ride.
Yes, we did, didn't we?
I mean, good God. Paris Hilton spent more time in her first incarceration than Scooter Libby has. And she was in there on a misdemeanor.
Sort of makes you think, doesn't it?
Like, as I wrote in one of my things, you know, being rich is nice. Being famous is wonderful, but knowing where the bodies are buried, priceless.
I know. You get the same sensation with. I think it was Lottie in the chat room who said that everybody who voted for telecom immunity from the Democratic Party is basically people who Bush has the goods on.
Yeah, he must have some really interesting pictures. I want to see them.
So Bill Nelson's already been reelected.
No, but Harry Reid's coming up.
Yeah, but you don't get to vote for Harry Reid or against him. Harry Reid doesn't come up, according to an email I just got. Says that Harry Reid is a Class 3 senator, that he comes up in 2011.
Oh, cool.
Which means the 2010 election cycle, if I calculate it correctly. Yeah, the correspondent, Cindy, says that Harry Reid is also a Mormon Republican in deep cover. Doesn't look like it's that deep anymore.
No, no. What I'd like to know is all these other nitwits. Mikulski from Maryland. I mean, what is her problem? Jack Webb. For crying out loud. Are these people all that thoroughly compromised? Are they all that thoroughly brainwashed?
I see Jim Webb doing it just because that's the kind of person Jim Webb is. Jim Webb was elected because, and narrowly at that, because he has a D after his name now, and he wasn't George Macaca Allen.